Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's not like a dream come true for me, ladies and gentlemen. See, that doesn't quite get it. It is a dream come true for me to be able to join you today and to do this every weekday as I do, and to talk to you about our small businesses, whether you be a micropreneur, you're home-based, or if you got 500 employees, you know, whatever your the stage or the scope or the scale of your business, regardless of what you do, if you're a small business owner, you know, this is what I'm doing this for you. And we do this together, don't we? Because I know that you're here because you want to learn something. Hopefully we'll entertain you a little bit, but also give you some insights and some ideas and some thoughts and some best practices, some tips that will help you, and hear other voices. I got to believe, knowing how it is as a small business owner, I got to believe that being able to hear these other voices, our Brain Trust members who join us every day, being able to hear them and hear their voices and to hear their thoughts and to recognize and to realize that they actually care about what you're doing. If they didn't, You think they'd be joining me? I mean, I know I'm a cool guy, but that's not the main reason they're here. They're here because of you. The guests that I have on the show are here because they really care about what you do. They care about the commitment that you've made, about the sacrifice that you've made, about what you've accomplished, small business owners, and they want to share their ideas, and maybe something that they say will help you. It's their way of giving back. And I know that comes across to you because when I talk to you, I hear you saying that. And you know, those of you who go back and listen to the archives, you go back and you go to our website at smallbusinessadvocate.com, and you find a topic that you're interested in, and you find the archives, and you look under the catalog of the table of contents of archives under that topic, and you go find one of these smart people, our Brain Trust members, who've deposited that wisdom with us, and we've kept it for you. It's right there on our website. So I know that you're doing that. And so anyway, it is a dream come true for me to be able to talk to you about these things, to be able to hopefully help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Now today, we're kicking off a celebration. This is Home-Based Business Week, and the person who's in charge of that is Beverly Williams. And Beverly, we're still trying to hook up with Beverly. I think there may be a phone issue where she lives. She lives in kind of western Maryland, up in the mountains, kind of. So I think there's a phone issue. But anyway, she'll be with us. I think she'll be with us in just a few minutes, hopefully. But I want to talk about home-based businesses. And I want to remind you that we've come through an interesting time in the last 100 years or so. We've gone from a time over 100 years ago when virtually everyone, not everyone, but probably, you know, the vast majority, maybe like 90%+ of people who made a living prior to, say, the 20th century, did it in association with their home. I mean, all farmers operated out of their home, right? Look at the thousands of years of shopkeepers, of tradesmen, of craftspeople, doctors, right? Medical people operated out of their home for years and years. Attorneys, on and on. You think about where people operated from for millennia to do business, to trade. They did it from their homes. And it's only been since really the 20th century that home-based business kind of became a novelty, an oddity, actually. I was home-based in... I was not a business owner in the 70s. I was a teleworker. I say teleworker. By that I mean I had a home office. And I worked for Xerox. And I had a home office. And that was how I... where I staged my work for Xerox was out of my home. And so back in those... that was pretty unusual back in those days. And in the 80s, I became home-based. Now we'll talk about that and what people thought about that right after these messages. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back. About that song all the time, ladies and gentlemen. That song's not... it's not an accident that that song is played on this show as bumper music. That's the Atlanta Rhythm Section, which, by the way, is an outstanding band from history in the Wayback Machine back in the late 70s, early 80s. If you like that kind of music, they're the Atlanta Rhythm Section, ARS sometimes. And great band. But that song, Do It or Die, and obviously I don't want you to die. I don't want you to do it till you die. But you know, do it no matter what the people say, he says. Think about that. I mean, how many of you out there are successful in your small business right now, but people say, are you crazy? Are you nuts? Got a job, man. What's the matter with you? And you know, do it when you don't feel like it. Do it when everybody else is and anybody with common sense would say, this is crazy. Why are you doing this? I've looked in the mirror many times myself and said, are you out of your mind? And yet next month we'll celebrate 10 years of the Small Business Network and all the things that we do here. If you believe in it enough, ladies and gentlemen, and you're willing to commit to it, and you believe in yourself enough, and you're willing, but you got to practice fundamentals. You got to practice the basic fundamentals. You can't just be Pollyanna. You can't play the glad game and make this happen. You have to mix in there with Pollyanna the logic and the reason and the fundamentals. You've got to be able to capitalize your business somehow and operate with basic business fundamentals. So you got to have both of those. I don't think you can be successful just with fundamentals, because at some point in time, somebody's got to say, you know what? The fundamentals don't show that we should move in this direction. But somebody's got to say, but I believe that we need a leap of faith. I believe we need some faith here. We need to believe in ourselves. And that's when the fundamentals fall away and what the man was saying there in the song comes in. You got to do it no matter what the people say, no matter what the fundamentals say. And that's what makes an entrepreneur. When you're capable of doing that, when it's possible for you to actually pull the trigger, when you can actually take a step, when you can go to the next level on sheer will and guts and faith and belief in yourself. When you can do that, supported by the fundamentals, that's when you can call yourself an entrepreneur. Just starting a business, you know, anybody can do that. You can decide right now, I'm going to start a business, and in 30 seconds, you can do it. You literally can. And that doesn't make you an entrepreneur. You're an entrepreneur when you get to the point to where you do something that pretty much wasn't indicated. Common sense didn't indicate it. Your mother told you to get a job, whatever the situation is. That's when you become an entrepreneur, when you are able to overcome the obstacles. And think about all the entrepreneurs in history who were not supposed to... it wasn't supposed to work. And I'm going to go back to what I was talking about a minute ago. about my own history, I was downsized twice in the 1980s. And the second time I said, okay, I'd been a good employee for 23 years, ladies and gentlemen. And I said, okay, I guess I should get my resume out, right? And then I said to myself, no, I don't want to do that. I don't need any help screwing up my life. I can do that by myself. And so I get my resume out. I designed a business card, and I started my consulting business in 1989. And I did it from my home. I actually had an office in my home that was still there from when I was with Xerox in the 70s, the same office that I'd used back in those days. So I just started my business right there in my home, and it was in my home full time for about 2.5 years. I operated out of my home for about 2.5 years. Now, in those days, and here we are, as I said earlier, we're celebrating Home-Based Business Week. In those days, in 89, that was such an unusual thing for people that when I told them that I was running a business from my home, they looked at me like I'd just grown a horn or something. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is from only, you know, not that many generations back, let's say 3 generations back, people in business, if you weren't in your home, it would have seemed logical. If you were in your home, I should say, it would have seemed completely logical and sensible for you to be in your home. So then you fast forward to the late 1980s, to the point where it'd been so long since people had been home-based, because most everybody was either, you know, an employee of one of these big corporations, or if you were a small business owner, you were probably not working out of your home. And so things had really changed. Well, around the 80s to up to now, more and more people had become home-based in the same way that I became home-based, because of the way the economy has changed, the way it's shifted. And for whatever reason or another, we started a part-time business or a full-time business, as I did. I was sort of thrust into it from my home. And so now we've come full circle, haven't we? In about 100 years, we've come full circle from everybody being home-based to nobody almost being home-based, to back to where there are probably, some estimates say there are 20 million home-based business owners in America. I think that number is conservative. Tintel, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. One fine day, you're going to want me for your first. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Haven't we been having fun celebrating Home-Based Business Week? And you know, one of the things that's cool about some people who have a home-based business think they can sleep till noon if they have a home-based business. And I wonder if Beverly Williams is like that. Beverly, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the show, Beverly.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's so good to have you here. Join us on celebrating Home-Based Business Week, the week that you really are the reason why we have this week.
Yes, thank you.
I was telling the audience, Beverly. By the way, folks, Beverly is the reason for the season, so to speak. She's the reason for Home-Based Business Week. She's the home-based, the queen of home-based business. That's what I call her. And that's actually morphed into her being kind of a snob about home-based business, but that's okay. She's a staunch advocate for all things home-based. And Beverly, I was just telling the audience in the earlier segments when you weren't here that home-based was the natural way of things for millennia until the 20th century, and then in only a few decades, it went from being the way of the world to being an oddity. And now things are coming back around full circle, aren't they?
Oh, it absolutely is. It's just been such a wonderful thing to see. And I've been so happy to be a part of it. It just amazes me in some ways when I look back and see where I started from in trying to get recognition for home-based businesses, and I'm not the only one. I can't take full credit.
Right.
Absolutely. There's lots and lots of people who have been doing this, but I made it a point by having a home-based business week to try to get recognition and change the perception of home-based business owners. And when I think back into the 90s, the early 90s, I'm just amazed still at the reaction that I got from people. You know, home-based businesses, aren't they all just drug dealers and daycare sitters and, you know, all this stuff? And, excuse me, no. And it took all this time. Now I get calls and say, wow, we want to talk to you about Home-Based Business Week. You know,
The single most asked question by reporters, when I get calls from, mm-hmm. from reporters, and I get them from all over the country, newspapers, mm-hmm. magazines, et cetera, freelancers, et cetera, the one issue that comes up more than any other issue is home-based business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of their first questions is, how many are there?
Yeah.
And it's still one of those things that we'll never be able to get, well, maybe not never, but we still can't give them an accurate figure right now.
But it's tens of millions. I mean, the estimates that I've heard is over 20 million, and I think that's conservative. And of course, as you say, there's no way to know because there could be 300,000 starting today.
That's correct. That's correct.
You know?
Of all the workshops and things that I do for entrepreneurs, for small business startups, at least half of them, are people who are going to start businesses from their home. And the good news is they don't even make that an issue anymore for themselves. Mm-hmm. It never comes up unless I ask them where their business is going to be located. And they say, oh, I'm going to work from home.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad.
20 years ago, somebody would have said, well, I'm going to work from home if that's okay.
Yeah. Can I work
from
home?
But now they don't say that, do they?
Yeah. Or, I'm going to start from home, but then I'm going to get a commercial location.
Right.
You know, it's okay. There's no stigma attached to it anymore, and that's wonderful. I am just so pleased. And as you have said so many times, that's what this country was founded on. You know,
yep.
The ranchers and the farmers and all those people. It wasn't until the Industrial Revolution that we had changes. So
mm-hmm.
we're come full circle, and we'll continue to do that. The service businesses are what have helped drive this. The technology certainly has driven it and allowed us to work from home. I heard a report on television the other day about Michigan and their unemployment rate and why. They said so many people are going back to school to learn service businesses because the
yep.
manufacturing businesses aren't here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to continue.
But you know what? You know what, Beverly? I wonder how many people who got laid off from their job and started their business, like me, are saying now after a few years, and I actually went back and thanked the people who downsized me back in the 80s, and you know because of this opportunity. Hey, Beverly, well, thanks for being here. Appreciate
thank
you coming
you.
In today. Thanks
thank
for all
you.
You do for home-based business.
My pleasure.
Beverly Williams, ladies and gentlemen, the queen of home-based business. That's BeverlyWilliams.com, by the way. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and including all of you great, courageous home-based business owners out there. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.